Well, hello. This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is sponsored by Kinza, the world's smartest thermometer. When my daughter Channing is sick, I turn to my Kinza smart thermometer for peace of mind. It's awesome. It remembers her temperature, symptoms, and medicine history, so I don't have to. And it even lets me send that information to my doctor. Amazing! Get your own Kinza at kinzahealth.com.
Hello, Mama!
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hi, friends. Welcome to episode 35 of Motherhood in Hollywood. It's me, Heather. Hey, I've missed you. I missed you so much. We got a great show today. My friend Jillian Boyd is here. Jillian is an actress slash writer slash comedy gal. We used to do sketch comedy together at Acme Comedy Theater here in Los Angeles. And she's coming on the show today to talk about writing her own web series with her writing partner. Mostly we're talking about the importance of writing, getting out of your comfort zone and getting creative. So I know for those of you who are actors looking to do that, this is some pretty inspirational. Oh geez, I hate that word. Sorry, inspirational. This is some pretty interesting information. Let's say that. And then I don't know why I just hate the idea of inspirational podcast. Nothing against anybody. Well, a little bit against them. But there are tons of inspirational podcasts out there, like the You Can Do It podcast or the Chin Up Buckaroo podcast. I don't actually know if those exist. If not, somebody get on that immediately. Make those podcasts a thing. But it just, I don't know. Inspiration is not really something I think of when I think about this podcast. I think of me just sitting around having fun, dicking around with my friends, talking about movies and TV shows and stuff that I love. So that's what this podcast is all about. And if you want more information about how you can interact with me and help support and be a part of Motherhood in Hollywood, subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood on iTunes and Stitcher. Also, go check out our Facebook page and Instagram at Motherhood in Hollywood. And I've been tweeting it up a lot lately over there on the Twitter twatter. If you want to go over to Twitter, I'm at MIH Podcast, or you can search for Heather Brooker over there as well. I do want to give a quick hello to some of our new followers on Twitter. It's been very exciting. Everyone's finding out about Motherhood in Hollywood over there. I want to say hello to Holly Zigalia. Oh God, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. I'm so sorry. I am the worst. Craig Schumacher. Hey, what's up, buddy? Women Occupy Hollywood. Yes. Yes, they do. My friends over at the Popcast Pod, that's Jamie Golden and Knox McCoy. Great to have you guys on board. And oh my God, so I got super excited the other day because Perfect Dumps is now following me on Twitter. I'm laughing because I'm a 12-year-old, but also because I just think that's hilarious. I don't know why, but I woke up one morning and I got really excited because it said Perfect Dumps is now following you. And I was like, yes, yes, of course they are. That to me just says that maybe I tweet too much about poop or talk about shit too much. Anyway, it's the little things in life that have to keep me going. And so, yeah. Perfect Dumps, What's Up, Lost at Home Podcast, Type A Parent. Lots of good folks over on the Twitter. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to follow at MIH Podcast. I'm having a lot of fun. I've had some great auditions this week. Nothing I've booked, so I guess it doesn't really matter. In my mind, I'm amazing at all of them. I just need for everybody else to get on board. You know what I'm saying? It's like whenever you do something amazing, you're like, listen, don't you guys all see how amazing this is, what I've just created? Don't worry. They'll get there. We'll all catch up. I do want to, before I get too far down my mommy monologue spiral here. So I've started doing this thing. I've started the MIH hotline just for fun to see if anybody wants to interact or give me a call or shout out, you know, have questions. And I kind of threw it out there the past couple of weeks to see if anybody wanted to call, talk about the Oscars, talk about parenting, motherhood, podcasting, whatever. I've gotten some really weird calls. Of course, when you put your phone number on the internet. Also, I should point out, it's not my phone number. It's my hotline number, weirdos. So it's a number to my hotline. But I've gotten some weird calls. But that's to be expected. The internet is full of that. But I've also gotten some cool ones. And I'm going to play some of them for you now. All right. So here we go, you guys. The first MIH hotline call. All right. Here it is. Listen up.
Long time listener, first time caller, Teabag Tag here. Just wanted to actually call in for once, try and see if I could, you know, cheer on the show about some of the topics that you're covering, such as Oscar So White, weight loss goals, dreams and aspirations, anything. Anyway, I look forward to checking out your podcast. This voicemail probably wasn't that entertaining, but you never know. Maybe the second time around. Maybe the second time around I'll nail it. Have a great day.
That's amazing. Oh my God, I love the internet. I love it so much. Thanks, Teabag Tag. You know what? You're wrong, sir. Your voicemail was very entertaining. I've listened to it several times, and I appreciate you mentioning all of the things I hashtagged, such as Oscar So White, etc., etc. So yeah, I'm glad you called. I sort of love doing this. It's so much fun. Okay, so my next call was from some insane person who I think thinks we're friends. So listen to this.
Hey, asshole. It's Tara. I just was hoping you would answer because you put that number out there and I really wanted it to be your number. You want to talk Oscars? I want to talk Oscars. I have seen 6 out of 8 Oscars this year and I think Leo's finally going to win. And that's really all I have to say. Bye.
Okay. So those were two clearly the best calls that I got. I'm just trying to do something different here, guys. I'm hanging my balls out there. I am testing my comfort zone, pushing my comfort zone a little bit. And I just thought it would be fun to start a hotline and see if anybody wants to call and interact. If you want to call the MIH hotline, you can. It's 323-886-2456. Again, the Motherhood Hollywood hotline, 323-886-2456. Give me a call. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Hollywood, parenting, podcasting, that guy that keeps calling you and you're not interested, but he's still calling you anyway. Like, whatever. Let's talk about it. I'm down with it. So that's been the exciting things happening in my world. I'm really excited for the Oscars this weekend. I cannot wait. I'm doing my own little Oscar pool. I'm going to make popcorn. We have a couple friends coming by. And I'm going to watch the speeches. I know there's a lot of controversy surrounding this year's Oscars, so I'm also kind of curious to see how that affects the viewership regarding, you know, Oscar So White and the diversity controversy surrounding the Oscars. So I'm curious to see how that will actually affect the broadcast itself. So, yeah, okay, that's it. I'm going to stop talking now, and I want you guys to hear this really fun interview. I had so much fun when Jillian came over. Just a couple of funny gals talking about what it's like to create things in Hollywood, write, have a writing partner, and just finding your joy. So here is my interview with Jillian Boyd. All right. So hi, Jillian.
Hey, Heather.
Hi. Welcome to
Thanks.
My mansion.
Your mansion is amazing. It's bigger than my mansion. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm very wealthy.
Are you?
I'm very famous. No.
I know you're famous. I didn't know the wealth that came with that.
Right.
Infamous.
Wealth and fame. They go hand in hand.
Hand in hand, marriage, made in heaven.
How have you been? I haven't seen you in a long time.
I would say over 5 years.
You think it's been that long?
Yeah, I haven't been over, well, I guess we can say we know each other from Acme.
From Acme, yeah.
Do all your peeps know that you do the comedy over there, or you did?
If they listen to my show, they might have questions about the comedy. They might wonder if I have ever done comedy.
That's not true.
But no, yeah, Jillian and I used to do sketch comedy together at Acme here in Los Angeles. And
she's bilingual.
And I'm bilingual. Sí.
Lingua.
Acme, which is no longer in existence, now defunct. Sort
it
of.
It is. I don't know what, I mean, yeah. There is a second stage in North Hollywood and they do the improv and stuff. There's still improv going on.
It still exists like in terms of a building that stands.
and they rent it out and whatnot. I did a fundraiser there at the one in Hollywood back in December. And it was so weird to be back. I haven't been back to Acme in so, so long. But I had actually quite a few people from Acme refused to come to my fundraiser because it was at Acme.
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of politics. Yeah. I wasn't involved in any of that. I just did the performing and I went home.
You kind of got out. Yeah, I was going to say, but I think you kind of got out maybe drama. Before it started to get shady. things got real shady.
Are we gonna get shot or anything talking about this? Are you taking me down with you? Is that what's going on here?
That's why I brought you over here.
That's right. I'm gonna talk to Jillian about it so she goes down with the ship
as part of my protection. We should also point out really quick that Jillian was lovely enough to bring some wine over here. Cheers. Yay.
I chose a nice Pinot Noir, but I've never tried it before. I got one named Firefly in honor
Firefly
of
Ridge.
The southern flavor
you,
of my show.
Are you reaching for the bottle?
I was going to try and look at it. I don't know who I'm going to show it to because Heather can already
see it. I've
already
seen it.
It's called Firefly Ridge. Mm-hmm. It's very southern, but not. I don't know.
I love it. Anytime anyone wants to bring me booze, I'm totally down for that.
I will remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it'd be a fun evening. I mean, it's Thursday before a Friday, before a weekend.
Yeah. And so we can drink. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so we drink all the time. It's just all we do.
Alcoholic.
Just sit at home and get drunk.
That's right.
Where's the baby?
right next to you, mama.
Right.
With her bottle full of alky.
So yeah, it's been a while since I've seen you. Mm-hmm. Do you still do sketch comedy stuff? Or are you still in the game?
Are you in the game?
Are you in the sketch game?
Oh boy. No, I loved the skills I got from that. I loved writing it. I love performing it more. Mm-hmm. The sketch part.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't as much of a fan of writing the
sketch.
Sketches?
I love writing. Right. I do, which we'll talk about.
Right.
But, writing sketch was an intense, you know, to be funny in 3 pages and make sure you're in and out, which is a wonderful skill that I carried over into writing half hour comedy.
But and the way that our show went in Acme was we were doing a show every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then were you
pitching the sketches
and pitching the sketches,
hoping you'd get
and
in.
Turning them. Yeah. And were you doing a Friday night show or a Saturday night show or both?
I did both.
You did
I just graduated okay. over time and I can't remember which one was which.
I know. It's all a blur.
It is a blur.
Because you go in on, like, over the weekend, ideally, you're, like, coming up with ideas, writing stuff or whatever.
Or writing with a partner.
Or writing with a partner. And then you go in on a Monday. You pitch it.
You remember a lot.
Hopefully, it all got in. And then, I don't think there was even, like, a rehearsal or anything. And then you put it up either the following Friday or Saturday in front of a live audience. So, it was a really quick turnaround in terms of, like, you got to be funny every week. And sometimes not all of your stuff made it into the show and you had to sit out a week and let other people go on stage and be funny. Oh, my Fitbit literally just jumped off my arm.
Oh, you know why?
It was like...
It's afraid of the wine. It's over for me. It's over. I'm out.
Very anti-working out, anti-healthy. I'm out of here.
Yeah, you need me not. You need me not, Heather Brooke. But
That were you writing before that? Was that something writing is something always
been
in your
Yeah, I always had to
interest?
Write. I wrote when I... Especially in grad school is when I really started doing it more. We had to write one-woman shows or one solo shows. I'd gotten together and written with other people. I'd written my own just writing. And so going into Acme was a whole other skill, and it was a great skill to have.
Yeah.
Loved performing, loved doing comedy, had done that. Enjoyed improv, but I liked the sketch side better.
Yeah.
And but then after doing it 5 years, I was like, I wanted to, you know, move on, and my life changed and where I was going, and I was auditioning, and I still do commercial auditions, but my focus has been more on writing with my creative partner and writing partner Mark Edgar Stevens. Shout out to Mark Edgar Stevens.
Actually got a little bit of that southern in there when you said his name, like Mark Edgar Stevens. Is it required that does he want everyone to say his name like that?
He wouldn't mind.
So if I meet him, I should go, oh my god, Mark Edgar Stevens.
That's
so
right.
Nice
oh my God. I go, oh my God, Heather Brooker.
It's so nice
oh my
to
God.
Meet.
Well, you're from Oklahoma.
From Oklahoma.
Yeah. And I grew up in Georgia. Mark grew up in Florida, Central Florida. We met at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And we've known each other since we were 18. So just a few years.
Just a couple.
Just babes in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we've known each other. We've been, you know, he's been in New York. I've been in LA or Seattle. But we found each other back here at the same time about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And we started getting together, just wanting to create and writing and improvising. And then we were like, let's write about stories. We had a lot of similar stories. We had lived together. We knew, you know, Southern stories, things
the
that kind of overlap.
Yeah,
family stuff. And as he likes to say, I'm Southern, but he's country.
Yeah.
So one step.
Yeah, that's true. There's something about Georgia that is that feels a little more Southern. There's almost like Southern is a very like, you know, it can have a. I'm gonna try to be real nice here.
She's coughing back something.
I'm like, how can I say this? Because there's a lot of people listening from the South. Mm-hmm. There's a trashy connotation to Southern sometimes.
Anywhere.
There's a fine line, I think, between like country and Southern and like trashy. Like, maybe where do they meet?
Well, what we say with the show we wrote, Welcome mm-hmm. to Our Mansion, is our family's country. They're not, we'll say, quote unquote, white trash, where mm-hmm. they're all, you know, the Confederate flags flying and they're smoking cigarettes here. And now we do have certain characters that do smoke a cigarette, but it's not like they're drinking, doing drugs and raising hell everywhere they go. Right. They're actually a family that loves each other and they actually meddle too much. They get into trouble for constantly trying to help out.
So were those the types of stories that you and Mark were kind of finding that overlapped in your worlds, and that you were like, we need to start writing this stuff down?
Yeah, but we didn't. I mean, nothing is based like to a T on one story. You know, there's certain things that we like growing up, I did a couple beauty pageants.
Whoa.
I was not a pretty kid, but it's what the girls did. Yeah, I was like Jodie Foster in Freaky Friday. You know what I mean?
I was not a pretty kid.
I was not. I was just your average chick, you know, just your average kid.
I've seen toddlers in tiaras
I did not grow up in that. My mother did not push that. That was not I had a really close friend that did, you know, grew up doing beauty pageants, but it was big in Peachtree City to do Miss Pride, Little Miss Pride, and Junior Miss Pride of Fayette County.
That also sounds really gay. I want
to
be.
Maybe that's what happened to me.
Little Miss Pride.
But
maybe that's what turned you out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. But I, you know, they send you almost like signing up for sports. They send you a slip home saying, "Do you want to be in the beauty pad?" Yeah.
Oh my god.
And so
all the girls
did it.
Sure.
And meanwhile, I was playing soccer. But I was like, "Oh, I want to do it because all my friends are doing
that's
it."
That's what did it. You should have led with the soccer part. No.
The soccer's what turned
right.
me. But so we talked about, you know, that would influence it. And there's a point where you had to get a sponsor when you were doing the beauty
pageant.
Even
at that age?
Yeah, but it was like, you know, you could ask your grandparents or whatever. But I was too shy. I wouldn't do it. My mom's like, fine. And she got her friend, who she'd gone back to school to get her associate's degree. Uh-huh. And her friend's parents were running a bug control business. And it was called Bun, Termite, and Pest Control.
Oh,
and that's what was on my sash.
Oh, my God.
Here's Jillian Boyd with Bun, Termite, and Pest Control. So that's, you know, those
so
kind of stories
awful,
flavor
but
that,
awesome.
Like, yeah, awesome, but all at the same time that not quite with it. Yeah, like there's the ones who really knew how to do beauty pageants, and then there was me who was just, you know, the dress from Sears and the reinforced toe hose with the saltwater sandals. And
I love that. Because I know that girl.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah. And we feel for her.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But we know she's going to go on to much better things.
We can only hope. Like on the Heather Brooker
podcast.
Hollywood podcast.
There you go.
Look at you.
You've already made it.
I am. I'm like Mary Tyler Moore right now.
Me too.
Are you?
Yeah. Just like, I feel just like her every day.
If you're not, if only you could see Heather just threw a beret in the air.
I did. It just went up.
So, but anyway, that's what Mark and I, we got together, started
so
tossing
sharing
around
your ideas
stories
and stuff.
Things
that's
where
great.
We crossed over. We both have a mamaw. We both had mamaws, I should say. Mm-hmm. His just recently passed. And then both our mother's names are Sharon. So there were things that
gosh.
We were like, oh my God, it's so weird. And then, but he did grow up more in that Central Florida. Mm. And then we said it all, basically the whole story, I guess I should say what it's about. That might help everyone.
Yeah,
it's
what's it about?
But it's called Welcome to Our Mansion. Mm-hmm. And it's a guy with his big city lifestyle in ruins. His name's Paul Jones. He's a behavior therapist in New York City. Is forced to return to his family's mobile home estate, mm-hmm. where everyone's eager to help, whether he likes it or not. And it's set in the pasture lands and humidity of Central Florida,
right.
on the same 8-acre plot that the family has owned for the last 50 years. And the thing is, you've always seen shows like either on wheels, like trailers, mm-hmm. or you've seen them, you know, you're like families like the middle. Like your regular working class family. What we right. haven't seen is a show that's literally that culture of mobile homes,
mm-hmm.
and the importance of that. It is something important to say you're not on wheels. but you're still below that kind of middle class.
Is that the tier of,
yeah,
like,
there's tiers, there's levels, and there's, oh, wow, a trailer that's
on wheels. I'm not on wheels.
Yeah. Now there are wheels, I guess, why it's mobile, but yeah, then, you know, it's covered up to look like a manufactured home kind of thing.
You know,
it's
what though is home. Interesting when you say that is there is sort of a movement now. Have you heard of tiny houses?
Yeah, oh my Lord. HGTV.
What's happening? I will sit and watch the marathon of these people living in these
theory sounds really fun.
Tiny houses.
And then it's horrible.
It sounds horrible. But I still want to watch as they go in and they go, it's not really big enough. And I'm literally like, you're in a tiny house.
What do you want?
What is wrong with you? They're like, it's only 120 square feet.
I was really hoping for a patio. I mean, there, like, I wanted a bigger deck.
I want a big front porch. Like, what?
Go get
buy
a house.
Dummy. Oh, buy a regular house. Tiny house, weirdo.
I think it's like a really fun idea if you want to just go out there and have a drink and make a kitchen in there.
Sure.
You serve, you know, margaritas out by your poolside.
Yeah,
in it.
You're in a mobile home. They're in a trailer. They're in a hitch trailer.
That's right.
And I love that they're like, I just want to be able to pick up and move and go wherever I want. And I'm like, you're in a mobile home. Just buy a mobile home.
Yeah, back up that truck.
Call
hitcher
it
on.
What it is. Yeah.
Or you have to pay for the land that it's on. There's all that. And the rent for your land.
Although I will say, did you see the episode with the woman who was in Hawaii? And she built, oh my God. So she was on Maui. She built a tiny home on Maui. Or maybe there was one that was already built.
She built the tiny home?
No, there was one that was already built. And she bought, she just paid rent for the land that it was on, uh-huh, like just for like access to the municipal water and all that, like $300 a month. And then she outright paid to buy the tiny house.
Okay.
So, and it was like, I'm going to say 30, maybe $60,000
for a
house.
She
has a house in Maui on this big acreage because the house is so tiny that the land just surrounds it. And
so she pays $300 for the land and the municipal.
Yeah, and that accounts for like water.
I'm going to go back to your last statement. It's a trailer.
It's a trailer.
Yeah, it's just made to look hip with the wood and the cabin feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, come on.
I know.
I guess it's trendy now, so it's cool.
It's totally cool now. HGTV has made tiny houses really cool, almost to the point where I'm thinking I could do that. I could pare down.
I would like to do that. Like the idea of being
that. I don't need
all
this.
Yeah.
Let's just get one room and just live on top of each
other. And
then
you think of your kid.
And then she'll be fine. She's tiny.
She's already tiny.
She doesn't need all that stuff.
And she's going to grow up.
Yeah, but. All right.
We'll build a second story. Is that what you're going to say?
That's when we'll
build
add the deck. Yeah. We'll have the loft.
We'll do the screen ports like they do at sororities.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Were you in a sorority?
No.
Oh, from the South. I thought it was required.
No, I did not even, what's it called, when they rush. I did not rush. Mm. I believe Mark Edgar was in a fraternity for a beat. If he could call in right now, he'd tell us. But I'm pretty sure at Florida State, he did a little bit of the fraternity.
A little bit of Friday night.
Yeah, that's for him to detail. I cannot help him with that. But so the two of us have been writing and we went and we shot.
Ideas. Mm-hmm. That's so great.
We shot it all on location. We cast Florida actors, amazing actor pool down there.
Why'd you
amazing.
Decide to do that? Just because it was cheaper to do it that way?
Well, we were staring at each other going, first of all, we had it written and we'd done some industry readings. It went through several incarnations. It started out as a Christmas special. Mm-hmm. Then we read it out loud and then we got more intense industry readings to where it was actual producers and writers listening to it and giving us feedback and said, you know.
Is that what I did? I came over to your house one time and I read a pilot that you had written. Was this an incarnation of that? And was Mark Edgar Stevens there?
Yes.
Okay.
That was you. I forgot that we
had
to do that.
I didn't forget. Listen, I remember every kind thing or nice thing anyone has ever done for me. I'm keeping a list.
Okay.
No, I totally remember that.
That was one of the smaller, like we did it in that nice house in
the gorgeous house in Brentwood.
It was up in Mandeville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I totally remember that. Was this an incarnation of that or was that something separate?
That was when we actually did have writers and producers listening to it at that point. So I think that was one. Mark is the one who remembers everything. As you can tell with me, I'm like, it all blends. I know we did readings.
Yeah.
And I know I had my friends from Acme because Travis Ritchie did it.
Uh-huh.
He was there. And I had some other friends that had done... I'd done sketch or performances with.
Yeah.
But that's so cool. I had totally forgotten who all did it.
Not
and it
me,
was you.
Jillian. Not me. I remember
that's so
everything.
So cool. I love it now. It's even more exciting that I'm here talking about it.
It totally.
But we decided to do it there because we're staring at each other and saying, okay, the heck with this. We're going to, let's just do it. We're going to do it on a small level. Let's do it as a web series.
Yeah, like that's web smart.
Because that seems to be what everybody's doing. And maybe we can make it, doesn't have to be this big high production value. We'll do it. And we're staring at each other in his kitchen. And we're like, well, there's trailers out in Ojai, you know, different areas. And I said, it's going to cost us a mint. But we knew locations that we could get for free.
Yeah.
In Central Florida.
Yeah.
And we're like,
let's just do it there.
We can, you know, and we'll raise funds. We raised money on Indiegogo and we funded.
That's great.
Which was awesome. We had wonderful support from friends, family.
Yeah.
People that friends, family shared it with. I mean, we couldn't be more.
So, did you shoot like a trailer first, like a sizzle reel type thing for it?
We shot the whole dang thing.
But I mean, to put it up on Indiegogo, did you just use like pictures and say, here's what we want to do, and then have people support you that way?
We talked about it. Mark and I got on and were our best selves that we could be.
Yeah.
And talked about it. And then we had these popsicle characters that we had that we were looking at for a main title, but we're not sure where they'll exist in the final, but they're there. They live and they're part of our DVD cover that we gave to our donors. And, so we had that and we just talked. We worked about 3 months on before we launched Indiegogo. We really were specific about.
That's great.
Well, we wanted to be as clear and to make it as professional as possible for something that's a fundraising type of thing. You know, that it wasn't just, hey, we like your money for.
Yeah.
We really were specific of where it was going. This is how, this is what we're doing. And we budgeted and, we produced it ourselves. We produced, directed, and wrote. So getting to do all of that has been amazing. And then casting. We were there the March before we shot. We cast, did Actors Access.
Mm-hmm. How did that go?
It was great because we had...
I always love hearing the behind-the-scenes stories of Actors Access because even
good.
For... Was this a non-union thing or was it, SAG low budget?
It was non-union.
So what kind of submissions were you getting from people? And were you getting just thousands?
You get... people in Florida and Georgia, all that area are wonderful actor pools. I came out of the Georgia actor pool.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying I'm wonderful, but I think there's people who are trained actors.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess if you released it there, did you release it like on the East Coast Actors Access?
The Southern one.
Like Southern, so the Southeast, Atlanta region?
Atlanta, North Carolina.
Okay.
So we had a person come from Atlanta. He was lovely. He played Scott and he's wonderful in it. Then we had most of them were from Central Florida. That is an amazing hub of acting. I can't tell you. I had no idea. Mark Nukes, he grew up in that area, but it's in the middle between Orlando and Tampa. So you have a lot of industry coming in there. You have Universal. You have Disney. You have all that stuff going on. And then you have what you would think is community theater, but it's like professionals doing it. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't the community theater I grew up with in Georgia at all.
Yeah.
It's like big old theater. You know what I mean? And good, amazing actors. So we really had a lovely turnout. And we had three women that we nicknamed our sassies who were acting as our UPM, our casting person, and our script and line producers. So script supervisor. But Eileen Schofield had all the talent she knew. I mean, because they're all busy in the theater. And she was like, you got to look at this person. You got to look at this person, which was awesome. Blossom. So she really helped us out.
Hey friends, I want to take a minute to tell you a little bit more about Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. It is truly designed to give peace of mind to parents, especially when their little ones aren't feeling well. You know how it does it? It remembers temperature, symptoms, and medications, and the best part, it gives you guidance on what to do next. If you haven't gone to check out Kinsa yet, do it. Go to kinsahealth.com. Kinsa, the world's smartest thermometer. Did you then just spend most of your time behind the camera producing and did you direct any of it?
Yeah, the two of us,
we
co-directed, but we directed by day, not like the two of us in actor's ears.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he and I, we split it up, the days and what scenes, because we'd already done the whole shoot schedule. Mm-hmm. And then he and I together came up with what we wanted, how we wanted the feel to be. But there was one lead person and the other one first AD'd that day.
Oh,
and
I see. Split.
It was a really small crew, I'm telling you right now. Real small budget. But, for what we were able to achieve with literally no help, I'm so very proud of. And most likely if it were picked up, it'd be reshot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe not, you know?
So what is your goal then with it? Because, you know, a lot of actors, because your background is acting, right? So a lot of actors, whenever they do something like that, they think of it as their star vehicle to make it on a network show or in a feature or something like that. What is your goal in making Welcome to My Mansion? Welcome to Our Mansion.
Well, I'm not in it. And Mark is not in it. Mm-hmm. Our goal is both of us love and would like to have careers that we have more control in. So we would love being Houses mm-hmm. on Wheels Productions. We'd like to produce more, also have a chance to direct more. We love writing together. So to be able to have that production house is something that felt more lucrative and more strong. And the two of us are very smart and driven, and to be able to control that. And then if we can perform in what we're doing, great. And neither one of us is saying, oh no, I won't audition, or oh no, I'm done with that. Mm-hmm. But our focus is so intense on this, and we are pitching it. And I have been doing the media circuit and just mm-hmm. getting it out there to get it seen.
Yeah.
So people will then go, okay, it'll take a look at it. So Mark and I can then go in and pitch that, plus our other projects that we're working on.
Now, when you first moved out here, you wanted to be an actor, right?
I was performing.
You're performing on camera.
Yeah, I was doing on camera
work. So what do you think has changed or evolved? You can scoot the chair back if you want.
So I'm not like spread eagle in the chair. I've been really attractive the whole show.
And I appreciate
it. I'm now dainty. I'm very dainty. I'm to my beauty pageant self.
Most people cross their legs in that chair because it's so big. People just do what I do and like, you know.
I got my shoes on. I don't want to dirty and sully your furniture.
I will do it then.
Okay.
So what do you think changed in your career since you've been out here to make you sort of switch your mindset and want more control over your destiny in entertainment?
My density?
Your density. Uh-huh,
my density.
Because for me, it was, part of the reason why I started Motherhood in Hollywood is because I sort of just felt like I was tired of waiting around for someone to call me and, you know, say, hey, we want to hire you for this two-line part. And
for you to be creative.
For me to be right. creative. Yeah. And I just felt like I needed to do something to kind of bust out of that rut a little bit.
And it's so much easier to do now. There's, mm-hmm. I mean, we have this access to, you know, editing equipment.
Yeah.
And you can do anything on your phone or what, you know, so it's all there to be had. It's mm-hmm. still expensive to do film. But it's not to write or to get a few friends together and be creative. Is it your vehicle to start on? Maybe, maybe not. Right. But if you are a creative soul, then at some point you're going to have to do something so you can, like you did, you know, I want to mm-hmm. do a podcast. I want to talk to people I enjoy talking to. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about what I do so you can give the update. So you're always out there.
Yeah.
So if people are like, who's Heather Brooker? It's right there. You're funny. You're talented. And then you're always kind of out
Go
there.
Go on.
She is a hoot. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, there's something very empowering mm-hmm. about it.
Absolutely.
And I would love to direct. You know our friends Retta and Kevin King?
Yeah.
They have a company called Create Your Reel. And I'm always like sort of casually going. They don't listen to the podcast, so I can talk about them. But I'm always casually going, if you guys ever need anyone to direct, I totally direct. And Retta's like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, oh, she never calls me. I really would love to direct.
Retta and Kevin, are you hearing her plea? Are y'all hearing this now?
They don't listen.
I'm going to send them my link to me.
Be like, listen. Yeah,
listen to at minute 33, 23 minutes.
Right. 20, unless
Heather does a plea.
Unless I edit out all of my swears. no, but I would love to. And I honestly would love to direct anything. Like if anybody has a short film or something like that, I just kind of want to flex those muscles and see.
Have you thought
if
about
I could do it?
Writing something for you to direct?
I am terrible at writing for.
Do you think in pictures at all?
A purpose?
Do you visualize things?
What I think of is in like scenarios or moments or things that have happened that would be funny. And I think, oh, this would be a great opening to a sitcom, or oh, this
would
be a really
to write
funny.
This for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I ever wrote a book, it would be a book I have to tell to somebody.
Okay.
Part of the reason why I didn't really start Motherhood in Hollywood as a blog, like a lot of moms do, is because I'm terrible at writing. Like my blog, I update it like maybe once a week, if that's not a good week.
Right.
What I'm great at is sitting and talking to people. And so then I was trying to think of like ways I could do that. And I was like, oh, podcast would be perfect. Cause then I get to see people I haven't seen in a long time and talk to them about what's going on in their life. And I don't have to sit down and write.
Dang, writing. I hate it. No, it can be tough. Like
I'm just really hard on myself. Like I will find myself during the editing and revising process, like going back and going, all right, what better way could I say this? And how could I do this better? And I get stuck in the not being able to
the
let
minutia.
It go. The minutiae of it.
Yeah. And we do, you know, it's funny.
And that's Mark where and a writing partner would come in really handy.
I enjoy writing with people. I always did at Acme as well. I always felt like the banter back and forth. And I felt like it always made me better and vice versa. But, and I don't like being alone that often. Like I can think and write for a bit and then I'm like, okay, I want to hand this over to Mark and let's see where we go with it. And,
I do
and
find
fun.
That it helps to have another set of eyes on something too. Like right now I always make Chris read everything that I write before I send it out. So if there's anything anybody hates, I blame him because I'm like, he's
Chris
my
edited.
Yeah. He's my executive editor.
That's right. That's right. Well, I think, you know, the whole, to get back to it, like why, what shifted is one, you get, you grow up, you're older, you're having to make ends meet. I have a mortgage. I have all this. So I do my day job and this allows me more freedom to do it. Would I like to focus all the time, all my time on performing? Maybe, but at the same time, I don't love auditioning. It's not something like, oh, I can't wait to go audition. Some people do. They do though. And I'm envious. Actually, I think now I could actually walk in easier because it's less important.
Less pressure on yourself.
Less pressure. Yeah. It's like now I can just go in and enjoy it and enjoy being in the room.
Right.
Before it was about getting the job. And now I've kind of, I'm maturing into something else. But I do love having that I can go home and write. I can write on the plane. I can write on the toilet. I can write. That's right. I write on the toilet. I don't literally write on my toilet. I write on a notepad while I'm on the toilet.
That's good. Do you just keep them handy, like within arm's reach?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the teepee?
Yeah. Yeah. Or sometimes the teepee is my medium. That's my medium. Yes.
Any port in a storm.
Exactly. But yeah. So I love being able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, have that. It was really, and I encourage you to find that thing to direct, Heather, because it was so much fun. The pressure of not being in front of the camera, as much as part of it you're like, oh, that'd be fun, the pressure, like there was a lot of pressure. I mean, to be on the crew, and we know this as actors, right? Everybody there's earlier there before us and after us. We have the cushy part. Well, not having the cushy part, it was really tough. I slept maybe 3 or 4 hours a night for 2 weeks. But for the passion and love of something, and you're just so you're having a great time, you're so but tired. Oh my God, you're so tired. But you're loving it because you're like, each day you're in there. We built a really good set and a good feel. Mark is wonderful. The two of us, like, we really sat out and said, how do we want it to feel on the set? We don't want any, there's no big diva stuff. We weren't going to have it. So it's like, we let everyone know we're there for them and it's going to be a fun time. And if we had any comments, we would step away, figure out what we wanted, and come back, doing our best not to make any confusion. Did we at times? Sure. Like, we learned certain things on the way as young directors.
Yeah, you feel like you learned a lot.
Oh, my God. How could you not?
Yeah.
We did. But I think we also edited.
I mean, you edited it yourself?
Oh, my God. We've done everything. Now, we had people come in. We had Brian Whittle, who's worked on the Mindy project, as well as Angel from Hell, which is now no longer. But he is a sound editor. But he came in and looked at it. And that's one thing that we would like to put in is music. We have Scott Francisco. Have you watched the trailer, The Sizzle Room?
Yeah.
Scott Francisco, who does The Girls and The Librarians, he did our music.
Oh,
and
nice.
He is awesome. Awesome.
Music,
blossom.
I feel like, sometimes can make or break project.
Because
I've been watching a movie before and I'm like, this could be so good, but something is missing. It's, and then I'll quiet. Realize it's so quiet. We haven't heard anything that music, like tonally, that fits the feeling of this movie. And when you're watching a good movie that has good sound and good music in it, you don't notice the music.
No, you don't.
Because it blends in so well.
It's informing you subconsciously. Right. And that's one thing that Mark and I know, budget restraints, we did not get full music put in the half hour.
Yeah,
we knew that. We released it as what it was because we had Indiegogo people that we wanted to honor our release. We released it as a web series, 3 episodes, and then we pulled those since, and it lives in its full form because it works so much better and the flow is better. Everybody's seen it in its full form.
So you put it up initially as a web series, and then you say you took it down from YouTube and you put it on a DVD.
No, it was still on YouTube.
It's still
lived
on YouTube.
There,
oh, okay.
And people can see it. Welcome to our mansion.
Oh, I thought you meant you pulled it off of online to put it on a.
No, we had the DVD to the people who are a certain level of donors. We did special DVDs for them.
And everybody likes it more as a whole.
Yeah,
piece.
I was like, did you re-edit? I was like, no, it's the exact same. We just didn't give you we didn't do the credits at
segment.
Each segment. There you go. I couldn't get it off. But well, each episode, we did 3 episodes of it, or webisodes, I should say. So it lives in its full form and it's much cleaner. But we also know, and Scott Francisco, who's wonderful and enjoyed watching it and said, could I do the music? Which, you know, we said, how do the sizzle reel? Because we want to be able to have the edit. We want to edit it one more time before he spends time adding music. But it's definitely, we have transition music, but nothing else.
Yeah.
So, and you feel it. You do. And we know that. It's just, it's where it's at.
I think, though, with where Hollywood is at and, you know, sort of the way it's going is they get that. They know the powers that be understand that. Like, they know that not every piece of content they come across, original content they come across, is going to be 100% polished, 100% from a big production company. You know what I mean? Like, they were already, I mean, if it was, they would have already been discovered and have a show. Like, that's the sort of the beauty about YouTube and everybody that's creating their content.
You can do whatever.
You can do whatever you want. And it's sort of understood that it's on a shoestring budget and, you know.
Yeah. And you want to be able to give them the feel. And that's why we said it's a proof of concept pilot. It gives you an idea of the characters. We wanted it done so it looks almost home movie-ish. Mm-hmm. We let them sweat. There is no makeup. We are like, our camera guy was like, they're sweating. I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's natural. It doesn't look like it's done.
It looks very real.
We wanted that. We wanted that kind of documentary, not documentary, but home movie feel. Home movie-esque.
Yeah, like sort of a peek into their lives, peek into their world perspective.
Yeah, and they're a fun family. They're sweet. They're loving. They're gross sometimes. All the above. But we had a really good time and wonderful actors.
And now, are you guys working on something else already? Because that's usually the next question when you're pitching to the bigwigs is, great, what else have you got?
Yeah, what else have you got? And so we have about three other projects that the two of us want to expand on. Mm-hmm. And then right now we're working on some spec scripts. That's what we're working. And that's what we were, you know, to talk about the minutiae, the two of us were kind of working on punching it up. And Mark's like, no, we just got to get it out on the page. And I told him today, I said, you're so right. I said, I'm taking your note. And that's what's lovely about a writing partner, right? Because he's like, we need just like, because you never know if you spend so much time working one moment, it still may not last in there. And once you write the whole thing, you're like, why did I work so hard on that? It doesn't fit.
Yeah.
So just spit it out. Get it out there, Heather.
I miss writing with Brandy McCabe.
Oh, she's hilarious.
Also, doesn't listen to my podcast. What a tramp.
These hookers, I'm totally sending them this link.
I know. I think they're just like, well, I don't have kids, so I'm not listening. And I'm like, oh my God, that doesn't matter. I have to tell people that.
You didn't
even
do the mom update. You went right into me today.
Oh, I do the mom update after you leave, so I can talk about you.
Fake out. Fake out.
I do my mommy monologue. Later. On a separate, you're more so sober Hollywood. Occasion.
You're so Hollywood.
I do that because then I could
fix it in the mix.
Yeah, I go back and I can edit some things in. And sometimes Channing pops in with me on the mommy monologue too. So, and she's not doing that right now.
No, she's out having ice cream.
I know.
A little schnook.
And then she's going to come back and just be like, I'm not going to bed.
I'm not going to bed. I'm sugared up.
I'm going to stay up.
Sugar high, mama, mom.
Yay.
I'm pouring more Firefly.
Do it.
Firefly Ridge.
Do it. But no, I miss writing with Brandy because she and I have a very good balancing act with our humor.
Mm-hmm.
We got each other's humor and she, we just wrote really, really well together. I loved almost everything we wrote together. But she's just so busy with her job and she also lives in East Jesus on the other side of
East Jesus. East Jesus. Is that a place?
That's like the other side of town from me.
Like bump. F?
Yes.
Okay.
You can say bumfuck Egypt.
Oh,
I swear a lot on this show.
Okay. Well, if you're going to edit me, I'm not saying nothing.
No, she like works way over in Santa Monica and she lives over by Acme. So it's like, I never get to see her. And so it sort of got harder and harder when we weren't forced to
be
together.
I'm going to let you in on a secret. Mm-hmm. There's this thing called Skype.
Well, now, this is back in the day.
In the day, back in the 2000s.
Before Skype existed.
That's right. 2005.
I know. And, you know, I've actually Skyped with Ed Ackerman before. And we wrote a pilot one time. And we're like, this is amazing. And then we forgot about it. So I need to call that guy.
It's a lot of work.
I don't think he's listening either.
You got to send him. We've mentioned a lot of our mutual peeps. I think it's time. But, yeah.
So to have somebody there with you to bounce ideas off of, help you let it go. Mm-hmm. Like, just be like, we need to stop and we need to send this, you know, that is very valuable.
And Mark is great, as far as in many ways, but he's also great with, having fun. Like, yeah. You should meet him because his laughter will enter before him, enter the room. But he has a great time and he has a lot of freedom in creativity.
That's nice.
And it's a nice partnership that way.
So you've got some specs you're working on then. Do you just want to focus on like TV type stuff or do you want to do film down the road? Or?
Well, funny you should ask, Heather Brooker. What a nice question.
I'm really good at
the podcasting. There is one that it's called Shoot the Duck that I'm working on. It's based on one of my solo shows, and so that looks like it would be a film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a comedy, a sweet kind of dark, not dark, because I'm not good at dark comedy. I wish I were. I mm-hmm. dream of being good at dark comedy. I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's comedic. Yeah. It's set around a 10-year-old girl in Georgia. I mean, but it's not me.
Is she in the Miss Pride pageant?
She's not in the Miss Pride.
Little Miss Pride.
There's a lot of roller skating going on.
I want to
on.
Meet. I'm going to Google Little Miss Pride when we
leave. Little Miss Pride of Fayette County.
Because I feel like I have some friends who
might be in there.
Yeah.
Who might be in there. I wonder if they still have it in Fayette Maybe. County. In Peachtree City.
In Peachtree City. Uh-huh. That's just so Southern. I love it.
And we were, well, that's where I grew up. But yeah, so that one. But then we have another series that would mm-hmm. maybe I would be in. I don't know. Or we'd cast somebody. But it's something that I wrote around me and another good friend of ours. One of my best friends that we all went to school together. So she and Mark are also very good friends.
Yeah.
But she and I it's one I came up with imagining her and I. I can't remember my
in
English.
The show together.
Yeah. She and I,
it's
her
all
and
the
I.
Booze. Uh-huh. It's all the booze.
It really is the Firefly Ridge. So yeah. So there's that one that I won't go into detail about
yet. So you feel like then you constantly need to be dabbling in some, like working on something. Like now that you've sort of been bit by the writing bug, and are you just like, what else can we do? What else can we do? Do you find that it's stoked the fires a little bit?
It has, but we have a lot of life things going on. So I don't think we are at that. We're not 20-year-olds where we're pie in the sky, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're working on it and we feel groovy about it. And we got together and we're like, you know what? We need to have a couple spec scripts in our back pocket. We would like to get representation. We'd mm-hmm. also like to sell Welcome to Our Mansion. I don't know if you watch stuff on IFC, Independent Film Channel.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. Benders,
yep.
the hockey mm-hmm. thing. That's kind of in that flavor, kind of dirty, not mm-hmm. fancy filming. Welcome to Our Mansion would fit really well
Mark
there.
Mark Maron has the WTF podcast, has a show on IFC.
Does he really?
Based off of the popularity of his podcast. That's how he got
that's
that
wonderful.
Show. Yeah.
That's
so,
very cool.
But yeah, no,
good
it's
good to know.
There's so many outlets now with digital media or digital.
It's getting seen, like
services.
Getting it focused because there mm-hmm. is so much for people to see.
There's
it's
a
almost
lot of places.
A different dilemma.
Yeah.
You know, to be seen next, there's so much content.
Yeah. Where do you go? Do you go to Hulu? Do you go to Amazon? Do you go
anywhere you can? I am a hooker. I will sell it where people will buy it.
Where will they buy? All right,
I have just flashed Heather.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm buying.
She's buying today, baby.
Sign me up. So tell everybody, before I forget, tell everybody where they can see Welcome to Our Mansion.
Okay.
Where can they support it, mm-hmm. Any on social media, all of those places. Tell me about all of that.
I'm going to tell you all about it. Welcome to Our Mansion. You can find it welcometoourmansion.com. It'll lead you to our website, and there are links there to our YouTube and the sizzle reel. You'll find the sizzle reel. You'll find the full 34-minute, and that's with the credits, pilot itself. If you are loving it, if you love the idea of it, whatever you know floats your boat about it, and you have a way to help us, a contact name, or if you are somebody that would like to hear what else we got on the table, we'd love to take meetings.
Yeah.
We're taking meetings. I am meeting with people anytime, you know, mm-hmm. we can get in the door. We're also looking for a literary representation.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
where we're at. But that's where you can see it. You can also go to our YouTube channel, which is Houses on Wheels Productions.
Okay.
And that's the name of our production company, Houses on Wheels Productions. And Welcome to Our Mansion will also get you there. There's all the links through there. You can donate on our website if you want to see more episodes and we can get there to produce more. Hey, we're up for it. We got the whole 13 episode storyline ready to go. And
yeah, I was
going
to ask, do you have more stories ready to go besides the three?
We have so much. We have the whole season, first season, all the way to the end. We don't have each episode marked out to a T. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go in a room and people think we're locked into something.
Sure.
We have the overall story arc from beginning to the 13 episodes of, you know, if we were to sell it to a Netflix or
right.
You know, something like that.
Well, I'm very excited for you. Anytime anybody wants to sort of take this town by the balls and create their own path, create their own content, create something from nothing, essentially.
I'm going to take Hollywood by her breasts.
Okay, can do that.
Yeah, by her breasts, if you don't
no
mind.
No judgment.
I mean, breasts up top, balls down low.
Whatever you prefer.
Yeah, we're going to grab it all. Anything mountainous.
Grab all of it.
Mounds.
And make it your own,
Jillian. It your own. Mold them. Ew.
Anytime anybody wants to do something like that, I think it's so great. And I'm a big fan of that and support of that.
Well, go do it yourself, lady friend.
I also just like want to take a nap.
I know. You're like, a mother in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm a mother in Hollywood.
And you audition a lot. You're doing well.
I know.
You're always booking some stuff.
I'm a huge star. Yeah.
You really are. I always see you outside the trailers. And first of all, when you got to be on the Mindy Project.
Yeah.
I was so happy for you and envious.
Really?
I was excited. I love Beth Grant more than anyone. Beth Grant, if you're out there. If you're out there, before you got on Mindy Kaling, she's one of our gals. She's Principal
so
Pundernip. She is
Principal
Pundernip.
Yeah. So. She could not have been nicer. Like, came up to me in the makeup trailer, introduced herself, and was just chatting to me like we were friends. And that's very rare when you're just on
a day player
set.
Or a guest star.
When you're just there for a few hours doing a few lines. Like, it's very rare for the lead actors of the show to be that friendly.
But she's an actor.
So great.
You know what I mean?
She's an actor.
She's done this for
She's
a long
not an
time.
Internet star.
And
she's
you know
not
what?
A fine star.
She's a Southerner.
Yes, she is.
That's right, baby.
Yeah. She could not have been nicer and like, was more than willing to take a picture with me. Like, I'm such a tourist. Whenever I go on the set, I'm like,
no, it's
oh
great.
My God, I'm so happy to be here.
Of course. I follow her Twitters.
Yes,
I
on the Twitters.
I love her Twittering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I am such a goofball. They had released me right before lunchtime. Like, I was done with my stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so hungry. I'm just going to get some food and take it back to my trailer, eat really quick, and then go. And I was walking to my trailer, and I had overfilled my plate. Apparently I'm
looking hungry. I'm like starving actor, starving actor.
I'm literally like the fat girl that had the big plate full of food. And I was walking up to my trailer and my trailer door wouldn't open. So I'm like yanking on the trailer door.
Because there's other food inside.
There's other food trapped inside. And I'm balancing this plate of just like a god awful amount of pasta. And I'm yanking on the door and I pull it back and it pops open. And I dump my food all over myself and
over
the stairs.
You're a fiasco. You're a fiasco on the Mindy Project.
And I froze for a second and I thought, okay, nobody saw that. And I turned around and Mindy Kaling was walking into her trailer and literally looked at me like horrified. And I was like, I want to die so bad because I was still in my wardrobe like a dummy. And I just got pasta all over myself. I'm so awkward.
Did she say anything?
No.
She was just horrified?
She just looked at me like her eyes really big and she just kept walking into her trailer. And I was like, I want to die.
Oh,
I'm so awkward on the set. Well, because it's not like she could yell, are you okay? Like, she was a little far away, but still,
she
should have
yelled, you are so in trouble with our customer.
Right, be like,
something.
Get
funny.
This bitch out of here.
You're so
but
in
I'm
trouble.
So awkward when I go on set and stuff like that.
Well, it's a weird thing. It's like coming into a family and acting like
you're blended. Hey, I'm going to be here the whole time. Hey, guys.
Yeah, am I allowed to open the fridge and get some food?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's uncomfortable.
I'm not. No, I just
you're not allowed to carry food.
Everywhere.
Can I say one more thing about where else I can?
Yeah, of course.
As we're talking about this, about the Twittering, you can also follow us on Twitter at WTO Mansion. Like,
okay.
Welcome to our
WTO
Mansion. And you can find us on Facebook at Welcome to Our Mansion. There, I said it all.
You did
I did it.
In case anybody forgets, you can go to motherhoodinhollywood.com because I will post all of this with links as well whenever I put up the show on the website. I'll make sure I have links to Welcome to Our Mansion and House on Wheels production, all the good stuff. And of
course,
Jillian.
It's
true.
I know.
Don't tell anyone. I mean, tell
everyone. Dear Heart with food all down the front.
Yeah,
of her.
I know.
But hey, you got a paycheck, lady.
I know. That's true.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
Do you have something coming up that I can watch for?
Yeah, I'm going to be on George Lopez's new show called Lopez.
This is where your bilingual comes in.
My Lopez. They Lopez. Did give me some Spanish to speak, not to like throw it out there, but they did give me a little Spanishy Spanish.
Okay.
And I don't know if that'll make the cut or not, because I don't know if they had me swear, but it was pretty funny. I don't know what I was saying. They were like, just say this. And I was like, okay. So we'll see. But that's coming out, I think, in early April.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that I'm excited about that.
Way to go, Heather Brooker.
Thanks.
Tearing up this town. You're taking it by her breasts and her balls.
Breasts and balls.
Well, I know. We
all
said
of it.
Alliteration.
Alliteration. Well, thank you so much for coming
on
Heather
the show.
Thank you, Heather Brooker. I appreciate
it. I begged her to come on, just so y'all know.
No,
she said,
didn't.
Okay. I'll let you on, nobody. Jillian. I'll open the door.
Yeah, stop screaming at me.
So here, I'll bring wine.
And then I was like, sold.
Sold. Cheetos and Mountain Dew.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much for listening to yet another amazing episode of Motherhood in Hollywood. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.